I once did a talk at an infant's Christmas service at a school about the shepherds and angels. And I started by saying, you know, has anyone ever seen an angel? And I did not expect this, but all these kids put up their hands. Now, one thing I knew is they'd not seen an angel. You know why? Because they're all smiling. Yeah, I've seen an angel. No, that's not how it works. I assume you've not seen an angel. But if you do, I predict what will happen. You will be terrified. You will be scared witless. That's what happens when people see an angel, because God's glory is terrifying. In fact, I want to talk about God's glory. Today is the story of the shepherds in the fields watching their flock by night. When an angel appears, God's glory shines around them. They're terrified. But then the angel gives them this news of great joy that a saviour has come. And then there's this idea that they have peace as a result. So I want to do three things. First of all, I want to look at three words. Then I want to look at the two comings. And finally, I want to look at the one hope. The three words are grace, terror, and peace. The two comings are the first coming of Jesus, where there was no glory, and then the second coming of Jesus, when there will be all glory. And finally, I want to look at the one hope, which is the Saviour, who is the King of glory. Well, let's start with the three words, glory, terrified, and peace. If you don't have a Bible, pick it up and look at page 1014. Page 1014. I want to show you where these three words come from. You'll see in verse 9 that when the angel appear, it says, "The glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified." Then the next time glory is there is verse 14, when the angels say, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace to men on whom his favour rests." Well, the first time there's glory and terror. You can see it again, verse 9, angel of the Lord appears, the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they are terrified. God's glory and terror seem to go together a lot. What is it about God's glory? Well, you can see in verse 9, first of all, it just surrounds them. It shines around them. It's a radiance. It's like a sun shining. It's a blazing, blinding brilliance. And this is what happens when people see God. This glory blows them away and makes them feel tiny. What is it about God's glory? Well, God in many ways does not reveal himself, but when he does reveal himself, his glory makes crystal clear to people God's power and God's perfection. In many ways, when we see God's glory, it will be the first time we actually see reality with crystal clarity. We live in a world of darkness. Jesus talked about how we are in darkness. He's the light. He talks about how we are blind and he's come to open our eyes. He's talking about how we are dead with sin and he's come to save us and give us life. In many ways, when God's power and perfection reveal God, it reveals me. God's power, my tragic, puny self. God's perfection, my imperfect, broken, bankrupt life. God is powerful and perfect. I am puny and putrid. That's the reality that you see when you see the glory of God. But the second time we see glory and peace. If you look at it, verse 13, suddenly a great company of the heavenly host appear with the angel, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace to men on whom his favour rests." What's changed? Between the first and the second glory, they go from terror to peace. What's happened? Well, what's happened is the angel explains what's happening. He gives a message. He gives some good news. Now, let me read it to you. This is what he said, verse 10, the angel of the Lord. By the way, this almost always happens. People are terrified by the glory, and the angel, the first thing they say is, don't be afraid. When Jesus appeared to his disciples, he'd risen from the dead, they're terrified, don't be afraid. So the angel knows that they are terrified, but the first thing he says in verse 10, do not be afraid, I bring good news, great joy, that will be for all the people. Today in the town of David, a Saviour's been born to you. He is Christ the Lord. We're going to look at this message a little bit later, but he says, don't be afraid. I've got good news. This news is of great joy, and this news is for all people, including shepherds. Now, however it is communicated, beginning with do not be afraid and explaining what his message is, the result is peace. Not absence of war, but absence of fear, absence of dread. See it again, verse 13, great company. Suddenly a great company of the heavenly host appear with the angel. They praise God and say, glory to God in the highest and on earth, peace to men on whom his favours rest. Now, I want you to notice, first of all, the host, heavenly host. Host is army, warriors. So when it says a great company, it's a multitude, possibly thousands, hundreds of thousands, angelic warriors, not cupids with little bows. Angelic warriors. They are radiating God's glory in such a majestic way, but they have a joy. They're not terrifying, they're joyful, praising God. And they say, just so you know this, they say it. They don't sing, they don't suddenly go, glory to God. No, they say, glory to God. 10 weeks ago, October the 1st, you know what it was? It was the 70th anniversary of the founding of the People's Republic of China. It was a glorious event. They made sure everyone in the world saw it because they had 40 million cameras and sent it to every possible media outlet and social media online. Basically, they wanted to show the greatness of China. It was spectacular. Did you know they had 15,000 soldiers? Did you know they did 25 rehearsals? Could you imagine? They wanted it to be perfect. They wanted it to be spectacular. Something I read, this is going a little bit extreme. Did you know in every group of soldiers, if you get the chance, they were all exactly the same height? You can go to the next group. But the whole point is they wanted to show perfection and power. I tried to find out what they chanted. I couldn't work it out, but it would have been something like China is great, or no one can defeat us, or no one will steal our glory. And in their message it was peace to China, and everyone else be terrified of us. Wrong. There's no peace in China. And interestingly, not everyone is terrified of them, but when the 100,000 angels speak in crystal clear view, glory to God in the highest and on earth peace to men on whom his favour rests, everyone who hears it, the shepherds go, this is awesome. This is good. I can have peace with the might of God. Well, that's the three words, glory, terror, peace. Now the two comings. The two comings of Jesus. The first coming is Christmas. The first coming of Jesus is with no glory. We're actually told that when Jesus, the Son of God, the Creator, when he came, we're told he took off his glory. He emptied himself. He made himself nothing. He chose to come down to us. He became one of us. For goodness sake, it wasn't just no glory, it was absolute humiliation. He became a small baby, and he came not to be served, but to serve and give his life as a sacrifice. Now, there's no glory in the first coming. In fact, do you know what the angel tells the shepherds to go and look for? The mighty God, the Saviour of the world, has come. Now go and find a baby in a manger. That's, you know, go look for that. So that's what they're told to do in verse 12. In verse 16, they get there and they find, this is what they find, a baby in a manger. That's not particularly wow. In fact, we learn that what they find is a young girl just given birth. And let's not make this all lovely. She was smiling and healthy and she's just given birth, okay, with a boyfriend. They are nobodies. They have no importance, no influence. They're not from here. And it's just not impressive. This is meant to be God coming down, and it is, but all glory removed, because he's coming as our Saviour, not our judge. Very quickly, it occurred to me, which I think is quite exciting, there's four Gospels, four accounts of Jesus. The three of them are written by eyewitnesses, disciples who were there. I saw it. I heard it. I was with him. I touched him. I ate with him. It's real. This is what I saw. This is what I heard. But Luke, who's written this, will say, I never saw Jesus. I never heard Jesus. I never even knew him. So when I'm telling you this story, I have got everything I've written down from eyewitnesses. Sure, Mary saw this. By the way, when Luke wrote this, it would have been 60 years later. So Mary would have been going on 80. But she could tell them that that wasn't enough. No, he needs Mary did not see what the shepherds see. She did not hear what they heard. So you know what Luke must have done? It's just, he must have said, I'm going to Bethlehem, now I'm going to find a shepherd. He must have. There he was in his 70s or 80s, but that shepherd was able to tell, this is what we saw, this is what we heard. The glory of God was revealed, and then we went and found the baby in the manger. It's pretty amazing when you think of it that way. Well, the second coming, if Jesus came with zero glory because he came to save us, and Christmas is the first coming, you know what Easter is? Easter ends with the promise, I've died, I've risen, I've ascended, and the promise is, and I will come again. The second coming. But the second coming of Jesus will be with all glory, majesty, and power of the powerful, perfect God of everything. Jesus is tried. The Sanhedrin condemn him to death. You are going to die. We're going to kill you. And Jesus said these words, yes, but you will see the Son of Man sitting at the right hand of the Mighty One and coming again on the clouds of heaven. He talked to people. Didn't matter who it was. He says, let me make it very clear. If you're ashamed of me and my words here and now, I will be ashamed of you when I come in God's glory, the glory of the Father and of the holy angels. I will come then as judge. Something people have not noticed, but it's important to notice, when it talks about peace, it is not peace to everyone. If you look again in verse 14, glory to God in the highest and on earth peace to men on whom his favour rests. But there are those upon whom God's favour does not rest. So they will experience terror and judgment when God reveals their darkness and their sin. Well, finally, the one hope. What is the hope that is declared to all people that is one of joy? Well, the hope is the message. We saw it in verses 10 and 11. The message is direct from God, saying, I have good news. It is a news that will bring incredible joy, and it is for everyone. And then he says specifically, today, over there in Bethlehem, the town of David, King David, over there has been born a Saviour, and that Saviour has been born for you. This is what the angel is saying. And he is Christ and Lord. He is Christ the King. He is Lord the Ruler. But he has been born to be your Saviour. Some of you will know Charlie Brown and Lucy and Linus. If you don't, I'm sorry, you missed out. But Charlie Brown was a cartoon written by a Christian. And you may have heard of the expression Linus Blanket. Linus was this insecure little boy, and he had his blankie. You know how kids have the teddy or their bunny? Well, he had his blankie. But the whole point of Linus Blanket was he could not exist without his blanket. Now, I sort of remember watching it 20, 30 years ago, but the whole point is Charlie Brown's Christmas is he's trying to organise a nativity play and everything's going wrong. And part of the, if you like, crescendo was, is when Charlie Brown calls out, this is a disaster, it's not working. Can anyone tell us what the meaning of Christmas is? The writer of the cartoon then had Linus, with his blanket, start reading Luke 2. And apparently the producers said, we don't want this. And he said, no, Luke 2. The thing that I was reading, though, that I did not know, and in fact he says, you've got to look for this, but the big thing is that when Linus got to verse 14, as he's reading, he says, you've got to watch for it or you won't see it. As he's reading, he reads, glory to God in the highest and on earth peace to those upon whom God's favour rests. And apparently, when he says peace from God, Linus drops his blanket. The whole point is, I see the truth, peace with God. That is more important than my inseparable blanket. I don't know what it is. We all have something that we put before Jesus. There is something we value more than Jesus. Now, what's brilliant, and I want to conclude with this, is what it means to be saved. When we see the glory of the Lord, we see perfection. We see power. We see beauty. We see purity. We see good. And when we see the Lord, we see in ourselves our darkness, our selfishness. This brilliance of Christianity is that when Jesus came, he said, I am coming to save you. And this is the brilliance of Christianity, because every religion in the world, without exception, and Christianity when they become religious, it teaches that we do stuff to gain God's favour. No, there's nothing we can do to gain God's favour. That's why Jesus came. So rather than, I think, the terrible news, do this and God might accept you, the message of Jesus was, no, no, no. I will come. I will live the life you cannot live. I will die the death you deserve to die. I will do what needs to be done so that you can have life, you can have forgiveness, and you can know the peace of having a Saviour. Well, I'm sure this is happening in every single church in the world. There'll be people there that don't yet know. You know, Christians talk about, I've seen the light. Occasionally, you know, it's a great, they can make fun of it. I've seen the light. But the whole point of it is, no, I actually have seen the light. And it's not, I'm amazing, isn't God, you know, everything's fantastic. No, I've seen the light. My God, I deserve judgment. I've seen the light and it's shown my darkness. I deserve to die. But the message of good news is that Jesus said, I've come that you can be forgiven. I'll pay the debt. I'll take upon myself your darkness. I'd like to pray now that wherever you are, you make a step like Linus did. Whatever it is I hold before the Lord Jesus, I put it aside because I need to trust in what Jesus has done rather than try and do something I think God will like. Let me pray. Thank you, Lord Jesus, that Christmas you emptied yourself, you showed to us without your glory how loving, sacrificial, good, gracious you are. Thank you, Lord, that one day you will return in glory and all that is wrong will be made right. My prayer for each of us, that we may be those who know the peace and the joy of that second coming, that we will know what it is to have found favour with our Lord. May we find favour by not trusting what we do, but by trusting the person of our Lord and Saviour Jesus. Each of us today, may we make sure, I pray, that we have turned to you and put our trust in you. Thank you, Lord, for your great love. In Jesus' name, amen.